Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. In our epistle reading, St. Paul writes, "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures." And then Paul goes on to list many of the witnesses of the resurrected Jesus, people who saw that Jesus had indeed risen in the flesh from the dead. This is all part of what St. Paul delivers as of first importance. But some might wonder, however, why the resurrection of Jesus is so important. After all, if Jesus paid for our sins on the cross, he died there the death we should have died. He was the innocent Lamb of God. He'd already lived a perfect life in our place. And if he says from the cross, "It is finished," then why do we need the resurrection? What's the big deal? Why should it be part of that which is of first importance? And why do the apostles make such a big deal of it in their preaching after Jesus ascends? Why does the Christian church choose to receive God's forgiveness in the divine service each week on the day of Christ's resurrection, on Sunday? Why is Easter, along with Christmas, one of the most significant feast days in the Christian church year? Why does Paul here include the resurrection as part of what he has delivered that is of first importance? The real physical resurrection of Jesus on Easter morning 2,000 years ago is one of those events that is of first importance for us and for our salvation and for the whole world. As Paul goes on to point out in the verses that follow our reading from 1 Corinthians 15, to understand just how important this resurrection is, consider for a moment what could be true if Christ had not been raised. If Christ had died on the cross and then been buried and had not risen from the dead, there are at least three things that it could mean. First, it could mean that he had not really lived a perfect life, but had himself sinned. And for that, he would have to remain dead. Because every sin against God earns a person eternal death. That would mean that he had died for his own sins. He had to die because he had sinned. That's what it would mean. Or what it could mean. And then that would mean that he didn't die for our sins. That would mean, then, that we are still in our sins. Second, if Jesus had died and been buried and not been raised, that could mean that he had not actually paid for our sins on the cross. If he had died with all the sins of the world upon him and had not been raised, then it might be that all those sins were just too much. Even if he had lived a perfect life and had not sinned, perhaps he just couldn't bear the weight of all the sins of the world. Perhaps his ransom just wasn't sufficient to pay for all of them, and he needed to remain in the grave and continue to be punished, continue to suffer for the sins of the whole world. And again, that would mean that we are still in our sins. And third, if Jesus had died and been buried and not been raised, that would make Jesus a liar. He had said that he would be raised on the third day. If he hadn't, then it would prove that he was lying. Or simply crazy, or both. It would also mean that we couldn't really trust anything else that he says when he says, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies." And that would mean that his death was just the death of a liar or a crazy person. That would mean his death didn't pay for our sins. And again, that would mean that we are still in our sins. With all of these possibilities, we all come to the same conclusion. If Christ had not been raised, we're still in our sins. But Christ has been raised. That means he did indeed live a perfect life and does not need to stay dead because of his own sin. It means that he actually did pay for all of the sins of the whole world. His death was a sufficient ransom to purchase us, to pay for all of our sins. And it also means that we can trust Jesus' words. That we can trust him when he says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me will live even though he dies. We can trust him when he says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And this gives us great hope because we are mortal. And we face death, especially in this time when the coronavirus is killing many people around the world and here in our own country. When we face death, our only hope is to look to Jesus, who has risen from the dead, who has conquered death by his death and his resurrection. We know that though we die, we shall live, because we have already died with Jesus in our baptism. And just as Jesus was raised, we too shall be raised. See Romans chapter 6. The resurrection of Jesus gives us the comfort and assurance that our sins were indeed paid for by the perfect, innocent Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. He had not sinned. He lived a perfect life. And so he could rise. And his death was a sufficient ransom to pay for all of our sins. Not one was left behind. He paid for all our sins. And we know that we can trust him. And so we must believe. We must confess. We must trust that he has indeed died and risen for our sins. Our sins are on us if we reject him and his death and resurrection. Believe that Jesus has indeed been raised. This is part of that which is of first importance, to confess that Jesus has died and he has been raised. And so because of his death and resurrection for our sins, we who have died with him, who confess his name, will be raised. Now may the peace of God, that passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia.